going to provide. God's always going to be there. And we thank God for that. Take your Bibles. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I understand it's a little bit different this morning. We got all the kids in here. It's always exciting to have the kids a part of our main service. Of course, we had our big junior church yesterday and had a blast with it. And how many of you kids are excited about the blow-ups again? Yeah, all right, we got a few. All right, teenagers too, because they're kids. Amen, that's right. How many of you adults are getting on the blow-ups? Anybody? Oh, we got a couple. I would. I've been told not to, though, under doctor's orders. And I'm afraid my wife would kill me. And Ephesians chapter number 5, when you get there, go ahead and stand with me. Again, I know the kids are in here. We're going to try to preach fast and get over to the food. I know several of you are smelling it, and some people have even sampled some of it. And so hopefully there's some left after Roberto sampled it, and we'll see what happens. And, no, I'm just kidding. But if you could, let's try to make sure we keep the distractions minimal. And again, I know there's kids that are in here, so if it's a dire emergency, we'll have to get up. I understand that. Ephesians chapter number 5, though, is where we're at. Look with me at verse number 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25. By the way, if you come back tonight, we're going to continue our study in Ephesians. We're actually going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 tonight, and we're going to deal with some relationships. And we've got a message deal with the home specifically tonight. And so you want to come back and be a part of that and be there for that. We got a lot of truth that we're going to share. But look at verse number 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." That's talking about the word of God. And then verse 27, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Here this morning we celebrate our 36th church anniversary here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. I'm going to preach to you a message entitled, "Why We Should Love Our Church." Why we should love our church. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done. Lord, as the choir is saying, for all the things you've done, Lord, we can just lift our hands and praise you for it. You've been so good to us. And the special this morning, Lord, there's never a time where you failed us. God, you've always been there. And I know of many testimonies just throughout the auditorium this morning of miracles that you've worked, things that you've done in our lives. We thank you so much that you've never failed us. You've always been there. And what a great reminder that is, Lord, that you've been there through every trial, everything we faced. And Lord, you're not going to leave us now. You're going to continue to be with us. And God, I pray that you'd help us to understand these truths and take and apply them. But also, Lord, help us to understand that this milestone that we're at as a church didn't just happen by accident. 36 years, Lord, that doesn't just happen. Lord, it's something that's worked at. It's something that's prayed for. It's something that's protected as a people. And Lord, even as a pastor, we've had men of God that have graced this pulpit, that have preach the word of God without reserve, without compromise, and we thank you for that. And that's the only reason this church has been able to be here as long as a lighthouse as we're able to. Help us, Lord, to continue to stay faithful to the things of God, continue to be the lighthouse till Jesus comes back. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. Help us this morning. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells husbands to love their wives in the same way that Christ loved his church. Now here the Bible tells us how Christ loved the church. He loved the church so much that he gave himself for the church. He loved the church so much that he was willing to die for the church, to bleed for the church, to give everything that he had to the church. This is the organism that God has left here to do the work that God has bid us to do. Here we have the word of God, and we have the place where God has told us to meet, the place where God has told us to work, the organism that God has used to give out his great commission to reach the world with the gospel message. And we've got everything at our disposal. And the Bible says that we are to love the church here. Notice verse 26. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it. Understand that God loves you so much that He'll save you no matter where you're at. But God loves you too much to leave you in the state that He found you in. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to clean your life up. He wants to use you and utilize everything that you have for His glory. Notice, how does He clean us up? How does He sanctify us? The Bible says, with the washing of water by the Word. So how does God clean our lives up? He cleans our lives up by us getting into the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to mold us, to shape us, and to change us from what we were to what He wants us to become. Notice verse number 27. It also says that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. We understand that for most young ladies, most women, the day that they look forward to the majority of their life is a wedding day. Being able to walk down an aisle in a wedding dress and be able to have a day that they have planned for, something they've prayed for, something they've looked forward to. I know that my wife, she had everything planned as far as the wedding day was concerned, even before we got together. It was something that she had planned. She had told me about it. She had started planning it when she was young, when she was just a young girl. Because this is something that girls look forward to. And here Jesus Christ says His objective is to be able to present to Himself a glorious church, a glorious bride, a bride that is without spot, a bride that is without wrinkle, a bride that is without blemish. The Bible says that is holy. It shouldn't have any kind of marking on it. It shouldn't have anything that is attributed to the world should not be into the church. Here, without spot, it's without wrinkle or any such thing, anything that would cause any kind of disdain. God says, no, He's going to present to Himself a church that is holy and without blemish. Here this morning, we understand that we can love the church that God has given us, the church that God allows us to meet here, and we understand the church is not a building, but rather it is the body of people that make it up, and God has blessed us with a great church here. And we understand that we can love our church simply because Jesus Christ loved the church. Now, understand this. Satan's launched an all-out attack on our churches today. Satan is working overtime with his demons trying to destroy the church that Jesus Christ has built. I talked with a pastor a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was just last weekend, and about another preacher, a church that is going through a trial right now here in the state of Oklahoma, where the pastor had to resign because of some things that was going on in his life where he had disqualified himself from the ministry. The church is struggling. Why? Because Satan is attacking the churches today. Satan has an all-out attack. He's working overtime to destroy the organism that Christ has left here to bid His work and to do His work. But we know the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We know that God ultimately has given us the victory and that we're not fighting for victory, but rather we're fighting from victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57, the Bible says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God has given us the victory already. It's ours for the claiming, if we want to claim it. But we understand here, churches are falling by the wayside, by the droves today. I believe a statistic that I had read just a couple of months ago, there was a statistic that was given that in a given year time in America, there are 1,500 churches that close their doors. There's not that many doors that are opening up every year. We are losing ground in our churches today. Why are there so many churches that are falling? Why are so many churches closing their doors? Why are so many people getting disgusted with the house of God today? Well, there's several reasons before we get into the message. Sometimes the members have become contentious with animosity. Sometimes people just get offended by things. And they say, well, I just don't like what they're talking about. I don't like what they're preaching. I don't like what's going on over there. I don't like how he looked at me. I don't like how he didn't shake my hand. He talked to everybody else, but he didn't talk to me. People get offended by things. And the reality is there are times where people get contentious with animosity. Offenses happen. And they use that as an excuse for why they don't serve God. Listen, if there is an excuse that we will use, the devil will make sure that that excuse is available every single time. Brother Thoreau used to preach that all the time when he was pastoring here. If there's an excuse, if there's something that's going to keep you out of the house of God, if say, for instance, if somebody with a runny nose or somebody you're running behind and you hit the snooze button and you slept in, whatever the case may be, whatever your vice is, whatever the weakness is, the devil's going to make sure that that's available every time as an excuse in your life. Here there are times where people get contentious with animosity. But also, there are times where the messages from the man of God become contaminated with apostasy. You understand the Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. You understand that the pastor and the man of God, the preacher, the one that is preaching the Word of God, is responsible for feeding God's people the Word of God. And there's far too many preachers today who are not preaching the whole counsel of God, but rather they're preaching opinions, rather they're preaching their own thing, and they're preaching apostasy. The Bible says if somebody comes to you with another gospel, let them be accursed. And we know that there are times where people are trying to preach messages that are appealing to everybody and that messages that are pleasing to everybody. I learned something early on in life, and this is this simple truth. You can't please everybody. And if you try, you're going to lose your mind. You'll go crazy trying. The reality is you can't please everybody. We got to make sure that we're living our lives for the audience of one. We're trying to please Jesus Christ. But also, come to find that there are times, Brother Nick, where minds are getting controlled with anxiety. You understand that we are living in a fast-paced society. We are living in a society where technology is at an all-time high. We are living in a society where things are happening at lightning speed. But we are living in a society today where people are overcome and overwhelmed with anxiety and all kinds of mental issues. The mental abuse and mental struggles are real. Mental health awareness is something that's come on the scene, just kind of blasted on the scene in the past 10 years. But it is a real thing. And the reality is there are those who have gotten their minds controlled with the anxiety and the stresses of this world. By the way, social media hasn't helped that a bit. People's desire to want to fit in with somebody, and then they spend all their days doom scrolling, looking to see what other people have got to say, looking to see how other people are living their lives, and then they compare their lives with somebody else's life, and then we wonder why we're not content with the things that God has given us. We live in a state of anxiety here in our world. But also, we've come to find that in churches, ministries have become crippled with apathy. There are some churches that have gotten to the idea and the mentality of, well, we've reached this milestone. We're not going to go any further. We've done all these things for God. Why should we try anything else? And they've gotten to where they've just developed a no-care attitude. They've gotten very apathetic to fulfilling the will of God. Listen, we're not trying to get rid of ministries. We're trying to start new ministries here at the church. We're trying to do more for the cause of Christ. We don't want to slow down in our service for God. We want to speed things up and do more for the glory of God till Jesus Christ comes again. But also I've come to find that marriages, Brother Throw, have become corrupted with adultery. Marriages have become corrupted with adultery. There are times where people have gotten filled with the things of this world and they're beginning to pursue after all the distractions that are in this world today. And again, people are not content with the things that God has given them. And they've got the mentality that if this one doesn't work out, it's kind of like a used car. If this one doesn't work out, I'll just trade it in and get a new one. That's not how marriage works. It was never intended to work that way. But these are some reasons why churches are failing so often. But by the good grace of God, there's some things that'll keep a church right. And there's some things that we ought to look for in our church. And so I'm going to give you six reasons here this morning on why we ought to love the church that God has given us. Why we ought to love our church specifically, but also other churches that are of life age. Listen, we're not the only ones that are out here serving God. Just so you know, we're not. You ladies, you went to the ladies' conference and you saw dozens of other churches, church ladies that were there faithfully serving God. Our teenagers go to youth conference, they go to church camp. Men, we went to men's conference, we saw dozens of other churches that are there. Simply, we're not the only ones that are out here trying to serve God. There are plenty of people out there trying to serve God. But we need to thank God for the opportunity that God has given us and the community that God has given us to minister in. But I believe there are six things that we ought to love about the church that God has given us. Go to Acts chapter 4 with me. Acts chapter 4. The first thing I want you to notice is we ought to be thankful for the hand of God that is apparent. The hand that is apparent in our lives. Notice the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 4. Look with me at verse number 13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived or understood that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now listen, you read this verse, and sometimes we don't kind of process all of this. As I read this verse, I want to step back and I want to think, this is how they are viewed, okay? They see Peter and John's boldness, and the people perceived or they understood that they weren't the most intelligent people in the room. You ever felt like people thought that about us, about you, about me? I know people think that about me oftentimes, amen. Here, they were looked upon as people who were unlearned. They were ignorant. And the people were shocked that Peter and John could speak the things that they spoke. These are just fishermen. What do they know about the Son of God? They've not studied the Word of God like I have as a scribe or as a Pharisee. What do they know about God? And here they perceived they were unlearned. They perceived they were ignorant. And they marveled. And then what did they do? They took knowledge of them. Notice what? Not that they had years of study. Notice. Not that they had been associated with a certain group. But no. They took knowledge of them. What? That they had been with Jesus. You see, people ought to be able to take knowledge in our lives that we've been with Jesus. People ought to be able to take knowledge in our lives and of our lives that we've spent some time with the Lord. Here, we ought to recognize the moving of the hand of God in our lives. Every opportunity that we get, specifically in every service that we have, understand that there are two spirits that are always in every single service that we have here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. There's the spirit of Satan and there's the spirit of God that's always going to be here. They're warring against each other. It's called spiritual warfare. There's a battle that is taking place right now. There are times where people will come in and they'll come into church with a bad spirit and a bad attitude. They're being used by the devil to quench the Spirit of God. But then there are times where we come in, we have the right kind of spirit, we have the right kind of attitude, we're singing the songs of Zion, and we're praising God for what He's doing in our lives, and as we hear the preaching, as we hear the music, God's beginning to work in our hearts, and sometimes, yeah, the waterworks begin to move, and the emotions begin to flow. Why? Because God is working in our spirit, God's working in our heart, God's doing something in our lives. You see, the Spirit of God is evident. You see, when God shows up, God often shows out as well, amen. Thank God for a God that when He does show up, He wants to make it known. The Bible says about Mary that when she was about to have Jesus Christ, she went to her cousin Elizabeth and she said, "Magnify the Lord with me." Listen, our testimony ought to be one that magnifies God in everything that we say and do. We ought to make God larger in our lives. Here, we ought to thank God simply for the hand that is apparent in our lives. We can look later on in this chapter, verse 29 says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Verse 31, notice, "And when they had prayed," the Bible says the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, when you get the power of God in your life, you're going to go and share the gospel with everybody you can. Here, they spake the word of God with boldness. Why? Because the hand of God was apparent in their lives. We ought to thank God and love the fact that when we come to church, the hand of God is apparent in the services. But also go with me to Luke chapter number 4, if you would. Luke chapter 4. We ought to thank God for the hand of God moving in us and amongst us. But notice in Luke chapter number 4 with me, look at verse number 18. The Bible says in Luke 4 verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel," notice, "to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Another thing that we ought to be excited about when we get to meet in the house of God is not just the hand of God that's apparent in our lives, but also we need to be excited for the hurting that are in attendance. The hurting that are in attendance. See here, the Bible says that we are to preach the word of God to those who are hurting, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to understand, listen, you don't have to be bound by the sin in your life, but rather God can give you victory over your sins. God can give you victory in your life. Our theme for this year at Cornerstone Baptist Church is that we are more than conquerors through Him that saved us. We are more than conquerors. Listen, God has given us power. God has given us the victory in our lives. We don't have to be held captive by sin. We don't have to be held captive by the struggles in our lives. But rather, we can have victory in our Christian lives. You see here, we're to preach the Word of God. There's a song that Hannah sings entitled, "I Wouldn't Trade It for the World." Being able to watch broken lives be restored. Being able to watch shattered lives come back together. Being able to watch people come to the Lord. Wouldn't trade that for the world. Why? Because that's what the ministry is all about. It's all about helping hurting people. Understand, the church is a hospital for sinners. The church is a hospital for sinners. And just like when you go to a hospital, you go to an ER room, there's going to be people that are hurt with all different degrees and levels of hurt. There are going to be times where you enter into a hospital room and somebody may be over there hurling in a barf bag. You may enter into an emergency room. I remember 4 weeks ago, I went to an emergency room and my wrist was all crooked-necked because I had broken it. Amen? And so I'd gone to an emergency room, and there was that was taking place. But there have been times where I've gone to emergency rooms, and I've seen blood pouring off of a victim. I've seen people that have had bullet shots. I've seen people that have had broken arms with bones coming out of their bodies. Just all kinds of different things. But this hospitals welcome all of that in. Why? Because it's their job to help people. And understand that we as a church, we're going to help everybody that we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our responsibility, the reason God has left us here is to be able to help hurting people. To help everybody we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be shocked when you see people come to church and they don't always look the way that you look. They may look like they've been struggling with some things. They may be looking like they've been scarred and they've been then marked up by the things of this world. But I understand they're seeking after Jesus. They're hurting people that are seeking after help. And we are here to help people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church is a hospital of sinners. And we are an emergency room. We deal with trauma on a daily basis. And we got to be ready for that. Because people need the Lord. They need help. You'll never understand all the trauma that's being faced currently in this room right now. Many times people hide trauma well. And there are times where you're going to be going through trials and you're going to be going through burdens and other people around you may not know that. But simply a warm handshake and a kind hug and a simple smile And a welcoming gesture of saying, hey, I'm glad you're here. Or a welcoming statement of saying, hey, I've been praying for you. You don't know what that's going to do to a hurting soul. So we are here to help hurting people. The Bible tells us, Jesus Christ says, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Listen, if God sent Jesus Christ to do those things, He's also sent us as a child of God to go and do those things. So here we should love our church because of the hand that is apparent, but also we ought to love the church that God's given us because of the hurting that are in attendance. But also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to hasten through all this. You're paying attention very well. Thank you for that. Kids, you're doing great. Amen. You too, Brother Roberto, doing great. Staying awake and everything, praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. It's good to laugh in church. Amen. I spend so much time in church that if I don't laugh in church, I'm not going to laugh anywhere. You got to laugh while you're in church. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at me in verse number 18. The Bible says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Here, not only are we thankful for the hand that is apparent, not only thankful for the hurting that are in attendance, but also in our church, we ought to be thankful for the heresies that are addressed. Understand that the world today is making a mockery of Jesus Christ. They're making a mockery of the things of God. They're making a mockery of the Word of God. And we have got to preach the whole counsel of God. We've got to preach the Word of God. And we've got to warn God's people of the heresies that are out there today. Just because a building says church on it doesn't mean that it's a house of God. There are a lot of churches that are operating under the guise of religion that are spouting and spewing nothing but heresies that are damning souls to hell. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, that in the last days we know those perilous times are going to come and that people are going to be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. People are going to use the excuse, well, I've studied this out and I've gone to the Greek and the original text and all these. Listen, God's Word, the King James Bible that we use is God's Word for English-speaking people. That is what we use. That is what God has blessed us with. God has inspired His Bible. God has preserved His Bible. The Bible says that He has preserved it from this generation forever. He's purified it 7 times. Understand the 7th translation is the King James Bible that we use today. And we understand that God's Word is given to God's people. You understand, some people, Brother Throw, you know this, you were pastor, and some people are going to attend church just so they can oppose things. They're going to try to find fault with things. There are going to be times where that happens. But those heresies have got to be addressed. Those things have got to happen. Listen, God has given us the responsibility to protect the sheepfold. And as the under shepherd under Jesus Christ, as the pastor of the church, I've got to watch out for the wolves that'll come into the flock. I've got to watch out for those that'll come in and try to destroy the things that God has blessed us with. And we've got to warn God's people of the heresies that are out there. You see, the church must address heresies and the issues of the day in order to protect God's people from getting tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Just because it's on the internet and just because it may make national headlines does not mean it's the moving of the Spirit of God. We preach the Word of God and we're not trying to be relevant to society. Listen, there are a lot of churches that are compromising in many areas of their lives because they're trying to be relevant to the world today. Listen, God doesn't call us to be relevant. God calls us to preach the Word. And we got to preach the Word of God, not worry about what society thinks about it. We got to worry about what our God thinks about it. You see, in the Christian life, our convictions and the things we believe, they show up in our conduct, but they're revealed in our conversations. That's our speech and our way of life. Let me give you this as well. Write this down. Look it up later. In Isaiah chapter number 62, verse number 10, the Bible says of Isaiah, the Word of God came to Isaiah, and God had told Isaiah that he ought to lift up a standard for the people. The man of God is supposed to lift up the standard of the Word of God. We're supposed to lift up what the Word of God says. We're not supposed to water down what the Word of God says. We're not supposed to minimize what the Word of God says. We're supposed to lift up what the Word of God says in our Christian lives. And you see, we lift up the standard. We ought to live more holy, not less holy. How do we lift up the standard of the Word of God? There's several areas that we lift up the standard with. We lift up the standard by our good works. The things that we do ought to point other people to Jesus Christ. We also lift up the standard of God by our gospel witness. We ought to be constantly sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with everybody that we come into contact with. Praise God, we had somebody that got saved yesterday. Simply because of the gospel witness of Jesus Christ. We also lift up the standard by promoting and proclaiming God's Word. Understand, the Word of God is our final authority in all matters of our faith and practice. We also lift up the standard of God by our godly walk. You understand that people are going to make a choice as to what they're going to do with Christianity based on how they view our lives. They're either going to accept it, receive it, or they're going to reject Christianity based on how we live our lives. And the consistency that we live it with. And then also, we lift up the standard of God by our glorious worship. Not by promoting emotionalism, not by having a rock concert here on the platform, but by our glorious worship, worshiping Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, the Bible says. Here we ought to love our church because the hand that's apparent, because the hurting that are in attendance, because the heresies that are addressed, but also, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse number 11, we also ought to love the church because of the help that is acquired. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11. We ought to thank God for the help that is acquired. The Bible says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify or build up one another, even as also ye do. We made the statement earlier already because of the hurting that are in attendance, but also here, fourthly, it's because of the help that's acquired. You understand that our responsibility is to help hurting people. Let me ask you a question. Or let me make this statement here. If you have received help from God just simply by attending church, would you say amen? Amen. Just about every one of us can say that we've been helped by God when we've been in attendance to church. I've gotten help. I get help every time I come to church with something from the Word of God. You see, we get help spiritually. We get help mentally. We get help emotionally. Sometimes we get help physically. We're able just to press on and carry on. There are times even where the church is able to help different folks financially as God allows those things to happen. And the Word of God tells us that we ought to be able to do that in different areas as we're able to. But understand, it's not the church's job to pay your bills. Amen. But there are times where people are hurting and they need help. And there have been times where we've gotten together food baskets and we helped hurting families be able to take care of things. They didn't have to choose between paying their electric or getting food for their kids. We were able to provide food so they can pay their electric bill, so they can do the different things that they needed to do. You see, our church is supposed to be helping people. We help hurting people. One thing I've come to find, though, Brother Anthony, hurting people are like broken glass. If you ever handle broken glass, there's going to be times where you're going to get cut. And sometimes when you go to help people, sometimes they're going to lash out at you. They're going to hurt back. Why? Because hurting people hurt people. That doesn't mean we stop hurt. It doesn't mean we stop helping people. Just because somebody had hurt us because we tried to help them doesn't mean that we write everybody off and we stop trying to help everybody. That's not how that works. That just means we use a little bit more precaution. I've come to find that when you handle glass, I start using gloves. Amen. So sometimes when you're going to help people, you're going to use a little bit more protection. You're going to use a little bit more wisdom in some areas. You don't just stop helping people. We just try to learn from things and not put ourselves in situations to be hurt. You see, we come to church because of the help that's acquired. We thank God for what He allows us to do. The Bible says to comfort yourselves together. You know, sometimes you just need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes we need to just be able to weep with somebody else. Sometimes we just need to be able to bear one another's burdens. The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because people are hurting. But also, Ephesians chapter 5 tells us all about the home and the husband and the wife and the children in chapter 6, how they're supposed to operate. We're going to talk about a lot of that tonight. But fifthly, I want you to notice not only the hand that's apparent, not only the hurting that are in attendance, not only the heresies that are addressed, not only the help that's acquired, but fifthly, I want you to notice the homes that are admonished. I love our church because of the homes that are admonished. Listen, when I come to church, I'm challenged to be a better father. I'm challenged to be a better husband. When you come to church, you're challenged to be a better wife, or you're challenged to be a better mother. We're challenged to be a better servant. We're challenged to be a better employee. We're challenged to be better for the cause of Christ. You see, there's homes that are admonished. We're challenged to have a better home that's more honoring to God, more glorifying to Jesus Christ. You see, here at Cornerstone Baptist Church, it's been a practice for many, many years. Even Brother Thoreau, when he was pastoring here, we make the home a priority. Right. Amen. The nuclear family is being destroyed by our society today. Yeah. Right. Amen. The transgender movement and the LGBTQ movement is trying to destroy the home today. Amen. God has told us we got to protect the home. Yeah. As a husband ought to love a wife is because of how Christ ought to love the church and the example He gave. So Christ's relationship to the church, it ought to be mirrored in the home. And as a home, we ought to be glorifying God with our lives. You see, the home ought to be a priority, but also a godly Christian home can become a possibility because we learn from the Word of God how we ought to be. We learn how a kind of man that we ought to be. We learn the kind of lady that you ought to be. You learn the kind of child, the kind of obedience that you ought to have in your Christian life. We learn how to have the possibility of having a Christian home. There are times where even in my life, even in your life, every one of us have thought we didn't have a shot at having the right kind of home life. But through the steady preaching and the daily dose of the Word of God and reading the Bible and allowing God to work in our hearts and our lives, God has given us a possibility to have the right kind of home. But also we've come to find that not only is the home a priority, not only is it a possibility, but the godly home can also be a pleasure. You see, as we get God involved in our lives and we make decisions for God here and we take God home with us, it's a joy and there's a better spirit that's in the house. Amen. You see, there are times where children don't want to come to church because they see the inconsistency of mom and dad at home, where people act one way here at church and then all hell breaks loose when you get back to the house. Amen. And there are times where people don't want to be a part of that. But here as a child of God, as we learn how to live for God, and as we learn how to have the right kind of home life, we take that home with us and we can have heaven, a little slice of heaven here on earth in our homes. And our home can be a pleasure for people to be in. It can be a pleasure to be around. People ought to be able to love going to your house because they see Jesus and how Jesus operates. The homes that are admonished. And lastly, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll wrap this up. I told you I try to preach fast. I hear the bellies rumbling. 1 Peter chapter 1. That was Brian, wasn't it? That's his belly rumbling, amen. I'm just kidding. 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." You see here at Cornerstone Baptist Church, we ought to thank God that the hand of God's apparent. We ought to thank God for the hurting that are in attendance. We ought to thank God for the heresies that are addressed. Thank God for the help that's acquired. Thank God for the homes that are admonished. But lastly, we also ought to thank God for the holiness that's admired. For the holiness that's admired. Listen, when we come to church, we ought to be challenged to be more like Jesus Christ and less like this world. We ought to push to be more holy in our Christian lives. We seek to follow God in a daily walk of holiness, a daily walk of separating from the things of the world and separating unto a holy God. Because God saved us and God wants to spend time with us. I've come to find as you spend time with Jesus Christ, then He begins to rub off on us. As we begin to spend more time with Jesus Christ, we begin to see people the way God sees people. We begin to love the way that God loves. We begin to want to live the way that Jesus Christ lived, as a servant and as someone that's trying to help. You see here, we ought to love our church because of the holiness that is admired. You see, this morning God has blessed our church and God has blessed every one of us with good people in our lives that have kept us accountable to the things of God. But as I stated earlier, listen, that stuff doesn't happen by accident. Right. It doesn't happen by chance. It's not just a roll of a dice. This is something that's worked at. This is something that's constantly preached, it's constantly practiced, it's constantly proclaimed, it's constantly reassessed in our lives to make sure that we're living according to the Word of God. It's something that we have got to work at. And listen, if we ever try to let our foot off the gas, and if we ever try to minimalize certain things in the Christian life, we'll begin to fall by the wayside just like all the rest of the other churches have. We've got to make sure that we stay right with God. We've got to make sure that we stay in the Word of God. Listen, I don't know everything that I ought to be doing, but I'm trying better every day to live more like Jesus Christ. Are we going to get it right every time? No, you're going to make mistakes, and so am I. We're human. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth again. But you see, the difference between a failure and a success is a success gets up and keeps going. A failure is one who quits. They don't get back up. I want to encourage you this morning. Listen, don't stay down when you get knocked down, but rather get back. Hey, listen, even if you got to crawl to the finish line, even if you got to army crawl and get to the place where God wants you to get to in your life, don't quit on God. Amen. Sometimes you may need somebody to come beside you and help carry you a little bit.
That's right.
Sometimes you may need to lean on a shoulder as we go through this Christian life. Sometimes we can't do it all by ourselves. Miss Sherry's got a shirt that says it takes a village. Sometimes it takes a village. Sometimes it takes some people helping us as we walk in this Christian life. Listen, I wouldn't be where I'm at today were it not for different men and women in my life that God had put there for a specific time, for a specific reason, to help guide me on the path of life. They helped to make sure I was where I was supposed to be when I was supposed to be there. They were there when I was a knuckleheaded teenager making all the wrong decisions. They were there to help keep me accountable to the things of God to make sure I was in church. They were there as a young person when my wife and I first got married, trying to establish our home. They were there to guide us and give us direction. They were there to guide us and show us how a godly home ought to be. We're able to take all the things that we learn. Listen, you can learn one or two things from everybody, what to do and what not to do. Amen. And in this world, you learn a whole lot of what not to do. But listen, around God's people, we ought to learn a whole lot of what to do. And you take those things that are working in people's lives, and you begin to mold them together and shape them in your life, and God will begin to work in your heart. God will begin to work in your life, and God will make something out of your life today. You see, this is the holiness that's admired. I find when I get around the right kind of people, a lot of that begins to rub off on me, Brother Brandon. I begin to do things the right way simply because I spent some time getting encouragement from people that cared about me. But you know what? When we get in our little isolated mode, when we get in our little depressed mode where we got to stay reserved and to ourselves, that's where the devil begins to work overtime in our minds. That's where the devil begins to attack us and begins to ridicule us and tell us we're never going to amount to anything for the cause of Christ. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God loves you. Jesus Christ loved and bled and died for the church. And we ought to love the church that God has allowed us to be a part of. But we also ought to understand that many times we're drinking from wells that we didn't dig. We're drawing from vineyards that we didn't plant. Somebody else did all the work. And we're able to enjoy the fruits of labor from years gone by. The church has celebrated 36 years today. 36 years of faithful, consistent labor. Listen, I've only been able to be your pastor for this August will be 2 years. Brother was pastor for a little over 18 years, almost 19 years. There were pastors before that as well. You say, why are you saying all that? Because it's not just because of one person. Listen, we're all working together at this. See, the man of God can get up and preach the Word of God, but if nobody's listening, nobody's applying the truths of the Bible, then God's not going to continue to bless that church. God may move that person somewhere else. And we know that according to the Word of God. And there are times where God does those things. Man, I thank God for our church and for what God has allowed us to be able to do in all these many years. But listen, God's not finished yet. It's not finished yet. This is just the beginning of so much more that God has planned. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning. We're celebrating a victory of 36 years here at our church. But understand that our church, the most important thing is not recognizing a certain number. The most important thing is us recognizing whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's why we were left here. And so we need to know if you know whether or not if you were to die today, if you're 100% sure that you're going to heaven. With heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning, I understand I didn't preach a salvation message, but I know God can work in any way and He wants to. And if you're here this morning and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you were to die today and you're not 100% sure that you go to heaven, you maybe have some doubt about that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd ask, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody like that? I see that hand, ma'am. We'll pray for you. Thank you for your honesty. Is there anybody else? I just don't know if I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I'd like somebody to show me. Thank you for your honesty. I'm going to pray for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd ask you, though, if you raised your hand, if you'd look up here at me. If you want to know how you can go to heaven, I can have a lady talk with you. All you got to do is just come on forward, and I'll have a lady come forward, and she'll talk with you and take the Word of God. Miss Christy, if you'll come up here to the front row, she'll be ready. She'll have a Bible, and she'll show you exactly from the Word of God how you can know that you can go to heaven when you die. Amen. Maybe this morning you're here. I usually need to spend some time thanking God for what God's blessed you with in your life. Listen, God's been too good to us. That's the truth of the matter. God's been too good to us. We need to take what God's given us and be able to utilize it for His glory. Let's pray. We'll have a time of invitation here. Father, we love You. We thank You for the day. Thank You for the truth of the Word of God. We thank You for the one that's come this morning. Wants to get saved. I pray that You continue to work in her heart and life. Help her understand the truths of the Bible. I pray that You continue to have Your will and way done. Bless Your people. Continue to bless our church. Help us, Lord, we deal with what You've dealt with us about. We ask these things in Your name and pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, you come as God's laid some things on your heart. Thank God for the church that God's given you. But listen, let's not take for granted what God has given us, because it can be lost at any moment. If we don't protect it, it can be lost.